Turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. As you're turning there, I'd like to thank the pastor for allowing me to fill his pulpit today. He's probably enjoying himself with grandkids. I'd like to thank all of you for being here. I'm not going to say you're in for a treat because I haven't done this in a while. I'm a little bit nervous, okay? But First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse
6 through 10 says,
"You, me, become imitators of us, became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you turn to God from idols
to serve the living and true
God
and to wait for his Son in heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us
from the coming wrath." I guess.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father God, as we prepare to look at your word, Lord, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you use it to touch our hearts and our minds. But most of all, Lord, you use it to give us strength and wisdom and discernment to be your children. Be with us. Guide us in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a question for you. Would anyone in your neighborhood or people in town identify you as a Christian when they see you or meet you? You don't need to answer. Just think about it. Can people look at you and definitely say, "There's a Christian," or "There's a follower of Jesus"? Can anybody do that? Folks, let me tell you, the Christian faith has not only come under attack today, but many Christians themselves have become complacent and have compromised their belief for the culture of the world today. Unfortunately, Christians today are known for what they're against rather than what they're known for. Think about it. In the U.S. today, many Christians have adopted, for the most part, a barely recognized form of Christianity that almost completely ignores the teachings given by this book and by the person we say we want to follow and be like, Jesus. But as God's Word said, there's always those who are true followers of Jesus, applying his basic teachings to their everyday lives. And today I want to share with you 6 signs that are indicators of a true follower of Jesus. Okay? And the first one's pretty radical. They're not hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? Anybody? The closest I can find for the word hypocrite started way back in France some time ago. They put on plays and they'd put a mask on, portraying somebody they weren't. And they were called hypocrites. They were called hypocrites, portraying something that they're not. Okay? Matthew 6:2 says, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full." To me, folks, looking at God's Word, there's likely no accusation more condemning than that of a hypocrite. When Jesus taught the significance of prayer and fasting and almsgiving for kingdom people, he discouraged us from following the examples of those he called hypocrites. He called them hypocrites. He said that by making long public prayers, employing extreme measures to ensure others noticed that they were fasting, and parading their gift to the temple, they revealed only an outward attachment, an outward appearance to God. He called them hypocrites. And they were the Pharisees. And they conformed well to their dramatic role as public examples of religious people, showing their religious virtue. You do what I do because I'm religious. I said so. They failed miserably in the inner world of their hearts, where the true virtue resides. In other words, Jesus said they were hypocrites. As followers of Jesus, we're called to give to those in need and pray often, but we should do it without calling attention to ourselves. A true Jesus follower doesn't look for praise for the things that we do. We're to walk humbly, we're to walk gracefully, and we're to walk in love as believers, as followers of Jesus. Anyone giving and praying or fasting in such a way that draws attention to themselves would be like the Pharisees, the one group that Jesus spoke about mostly, called hypocrites. Number two, they don't serve money. The word money there can be translated into material possessions. Think about it. My wife, before she passed away, called me a hoarder because my shed's so full of stuff, I just got a little path to get through my shed. But I know where everything is. I know where every screw and washer and nut is. But she still called me a hoarder. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either they'll hate the one or love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and material things." Money, it says. But money is a material thing, if you think about it. Listen, folks, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with the desire to improve your financial situation. There's nothing wrong with that. And God, in fact, I think God kind of encourages it. But when material things becomes your major driving force, it can ruin your life. It can. Just look at what's happening in the world, in our country today, with some of the wealthiest people in the nation. One, for instance, I'm not going to name his name, is trying to sway elections with all of his billions and billions of dollars. Is that right? I don't think so. But that's the way material things take a hold of you and mess you up. A Jesus follower doesn't serve material things. They recognize they can't serve both God and possessions because one of them will become more important to you than the other. Material things are worldly. Think about it. And they, as an idol, will have destroyed your relationships. It's destroyed families, friendships, and marriages. When it comes to possessions, our focus should be contentment. Be content in what God has given you. It all belongs to Him anyway. What are you going to do with it when you pass away? Think about it. I keep telling my daughters, they live in upstate New York, that when I pass away, they're going to have to bring a 26-foot haul U-Haul trailer to load up all the junk I got. Unless they want to just give it away or sell it. You cannot serve the world and serve God. Number three. Followers of Christ treat people the way they want to be treated. 2 Corinthians 2:10 says, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I've forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Matthew 11:25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. I thought about this. The golden rule as I was growing up was, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but do it first. That's not how it goes, is it? God states, treat others as He has treated us, forgiven us for our transgressions. A Jesus follower lives in a life that reflects how God treats us. And that I labeled today the golden rule. Jesus Himself says that this simple rule captures all the law of the prophets. Jesus' followers are also practice the kindness of virtue, where they give people the same respect that we'd like given to us. I was thinking about that when I was studying this, and I thought about the day I stood up in front of this church and told them I was going into the ministry. There was many people in this church back then, and there was a few who literally got in my face and told me, you cannot be a pastor because I've been divorced. And my answer was, okay, if you think I can't be a pastor, then you take God's place, because God called me into the ministry, not you. People need to think about what God has done in their lives, folks, especially us. Matthew 7:12-14 says, and this is Jesus speaking, it should be read in your Bible, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law of the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. In plain old everyday English, a Christ follower exhibits love and kindness through generous acts of service, because that's what God has called us to do. People who practice this are not only compassionate and considerate, but have the ability to see the best in others. Number four, prayer is a key part of our relationship. Matthew 21:21-22 says, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself in the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." As followers of Christ, we're to know, or we should know, that prayer is a key part of our relationship with God. Because it isn't always part of, but it isn't always part of our regular practice in today's world, is it? I think about what it says about Jesus praying in the Bible. Every time something came up, he went off by himself and prayed. How often do we do that today? How often do we even get by ourselves and pray? How often do we pray and thank God for what he gives us every day? I always pray before I get up, because I don't know if I can stand up when I get up. Many Christians today struggle with making adequate time for God through prayer and communication. Prayer is our communication with God, right? We live in a fast-paced world today, folks. While many Christians say Jesus is most important in their lives, far, far too many of them struggle with fitting God into their daily agenda. But as Jesus followers, we always have time for God because their lives center around him. They trust and depend on him fully. Too often our daily lives don't always reflect that God is at its center. What's special about being a Jesus follower? It's a solid relationship with God. That when we face struggle and torments, we know where our help's going to come from. Amen? Number five. A Jesus follower is genuine and discerning. But after some things that have happened here and other places, Jesus himself warns us about people who claim to represent him but don't actually live as a follower of Christ. Matthew 7:15, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Acts 20:28-32 says, "Keep watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Did you know you were all an overseer? Every one of us is. The world tells you to mind your own business. God tells you to mind everybody's business in your church. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Ravenous wolves. Jesus calls them ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing for a reason. He makes the statement that not all who claim to be followers are who they say they are. Have you ever watched hunting shows on TV? Have you ever watched guys climbing 10, 11,000 feet to shoot a sheep? Huh? I've never had the opportunity. I've hunted a lot all my life. But have you ever noticed that most of the people that hunt Rocky Mountain sheep dress in white? Why? They want to fool that sheep into thinking they're a sheep, and they don't realize that that sheep's there to kill them. That's what's going on here. That's what's going on here, folks. It's important that followers of Jesus listen to the substance of people's messages. Now, I don't want you to take everything I say for the gospel truth today. Go home and check it out. That's why I use God's word to back it up. You should never take it for granted. Check it out. My dad used to tell me when I was growing up, only believe half of what you see and nothing you hear. And it's so relevant in today's world. Think about it. We hear so many promises, so many conditions that's going to happen, and so many of this. And they're lying through their teeth. But they make you believe, try to make you believe what they're saying. The message for Jesus' followers should all be central on Christ. 2 Peter 2:3 says, if they're in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Woo. And you go back to verse 1, you don't have that one up there. Jesus said, there will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies among you. We need to pay special attention to the notes, to the word secretly here, folks, because it's a movement away from the centrality of Jesus, and it may be subtle. It may be slowly unnoticed if you don't pay attention and use God's word to prove it. Christ is not central in this message. They're trying to introduce something very corruptive to God's word. Their messages are not aligned with Scripture, but it has their own warped version of God's word. Christ's followers are genuine and discerning. Discerning means know the Word of God. Know how to compare what the man's saying to the Word of God. Go home and check out everything that I've said. Go home and check out the preacher every Sunday, every Wednesday night. It don't make no difference. Check it out. And number 6, Jesus' followers witness and influence the world around you. Matthew 28:19-20. Everybody knows this. Say it with me, if you will. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. One of the key elements of a Jesus follower, folks, is being open and willing to share your faith with others. I don't want to put you on the spot, and I don't want you to answer, but how often have you shared your faith? How often do you tell people what God did in your life? Today, far, far too many Christians find that sharing their faith is a big struggle. Oh, I don't know how. I don't know what to say. You don't have no trouble telling people about your children. You don't have any trouble telling people about your grandchildren. You don't have any trouble telling people about something that nice happened to you, or that God healed you from a sickness. What's so hard about saying, Jesus came into my life and I'm a changed person? I remember the night Jesus came into my life right up here on Yampa. I bawled like a little baby. That big, tough, heavy equipment operator. Bawled like a little baby because I realized what God's word was telling me. People today don't witness out of fear. They're afraid to. Why? Afraid of rejection. Because they don't want to be ridiculed or persecuted by the world. But Jesus warns us in John 15, and this is Jesus talking again. John 15:20 says, "Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also." We hesitate to share, and then thoughts of fear get in our mind. And how do we tell others about God in a way that's effective? As I was studying this, I came on this. This guy said, some people think of sharing their faith as a commandment enforced by knocking on doors and then praying, "I hope nobody's home." Throw a Bible on their step and then run. How many people are like that? Fortunately, this is not what God commands us to do, folks. As Jesus followers, a Jesus follower is unapologetic about witnessing and influencing the world around us. We serve a living God who didn't design our faith as a way to condemn people. We witness to others by spreading God's love and approach witnessing with the right attitude and the right state of mind. I had a little brother at one time. He was 39. He got cancer and passed away. And he got put in jail for dope, as a lot of young people are doing. And I went to see him back in South Dakota to find out what was going on. And I was talking to him. I talked to him for maybe 20 minutes. And his exact words, "What the H happened to you?" I said, "Nothing happened to me. I'm not in jail." He said, what has changed you?" And all I had to say was, "Jesus changed me. Jesus came into my life and changed me." That's all I had to say. And it put him to thinking. If your life can change like that, so can my life. In the Bible, God tells us, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. I don't want to hear what you got to say because it doesn't align with what this says. Get in their face. If you can't prove to me that what you're saying is true according to God's word, I don't want to hear it. Anything beyond that, it comes from the devil, folks. Listen, folks, our faith journey, in our faith journey, we'll take more than one detour, probably, from following Christ. I've been upset with God for 9 months because He took my beautiful wife from me. But then I think about how much fun she's having with no aches, no pains, no cancer. All I can do is thank God that He spared her from that. But in spite of all the situations and stubbornness and self-righteous arrogance on our part and a litany of other things that we do, God still loves us if we're true followers of Jesus. Jesus' followers have been transformed by Christ. And God's ultimate love for us, He wants us to witness that incredible love to the world around us. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Nothing. Jesus said in Matthew 5:10, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Think about it. Think about what God's promised you. Think about what He's done in your life. And how great it's going to be. And if this doesn't bring you closer to Jesus, as being a follower of Jesus, and make you want to witness, it isn't God that's moved. It's you. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before You, Lord, today, we thank You, Lord, that You love us in spite of us. Sometimes we forget to thank You for what You've done. Sometimes we forget to tell others about Jesus. Lord, there's always an opportunity before us. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that You give us boldness, that You give us strength, that You give us the discernment to see the opportunities that You put before us. And we thank You for the many blessings that You give us each and every day that we fail to thank You for. But most of all, today and every day, we thank You and praise You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And as Jesus' followers, we want to be more like and imitate Him to the world. We want people to see Him in us. We thank You in His name. Amen.